Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's a real blessing to be in here. Oh, you've been already been richly blessed. Yeah, I do want to say happy Father's Day to each one of the fathers and your fathers. Sure is a nice day, and it's a real blessing being a father as well. You know, as I was thinking what to share this morning, I had a lot of different thoughts, but my passion this morning is to talk to us fathers. Somebody said you should have a Father's Day message. I said I'm not good at having a Father's Day message. I just have a message. So the message is going to be kind of directed toward us fathers, okay? But the message isn't just for us fathers, regardless who you hear this morning. You can apply it to yourself, okay? Because whatever the fathers need, you probably need too, okay? And seriously, that's how it is. You know, us fathers are just to be an example of our father. The example our father has been to us to be that example to our children. That we might truly be that godly father. That we might be filled with the spirit and power of God. That we might be 100% sold out for Christ. You know, and as I was thinking, this is something I've been thinking about the last couple weeks. Is all the blessings we've been given and the privileges we have. And you know, we can use these, God can use these to guide and direct us the right direction, or we can use them just to consume them upon ourselves and be empty-handed at the end of life. That we use everything we have for God's glory. So my title this morning I had is Fathers with a Passionate Vision. Now the next one might scare you a little bit. For faith and works. You know, sometimes we're scared to talk about works. But this morning I like to talk about faith and works. You know, faith by itself is actually worthless. If it's 100% by itself, the same as works are worthless by themselves. But how faith complements works and works complement faith. And how the two become one. You know, I used to say, I had people ask me, so which is the most important, faith or works? You know, which is the most important? Well, it's faith. You start out in faith, then works follows right behind. I used to say it's kind of like a horse. It's like faith. It's filled with power, okay? But a horse by itself isn't going to do a whole lot unless you have a carriage behind it that's hooked to it and they both go together, the horse and the carriage. That's how faith and works go together. It's faith makes works come alive. But works, a buggy by itself is worthless. But when you have a horse with it, then it really works. You know, and as I was thinking, I was thinking of a couple examples. An example of a man's life that God really blessed. And you know, probably the number one example we think of in the Bible is Abraham, okay? Abraham, the man of faith. And then we think of his nephew Lot. You know, Abraham and Lot left the same time, and they were a family, and they dwelt together, and they traveled together. But for some reason, Lot and Abraham, if you look at the end of their journey, so I'm kind of giving you a little bit of what my thoughts are, then I like to go over and look at it. At the end of the journey, you know, we look back at Abraham's life, and we're all blessed by Abraham's life. So I want to be more like Abraham, you know? But you know, in a way, we'd think the scripture would be a little better written if some of Abraham's downfallings wouldn't be in there. But you know, Abraham fell a couple times. But Abraham got back up and he kept on going. And you know, we look at Lot's life. You know, one time I heard somebody say, well, I wonder how Lot ended up at the end of his life. He said, well, you know, it does say in Peter that Lot vexed his righteous soul. Lot was a righteous man, but he made some bad choices. And that's what I would like to talk about this morning is, you know, Lot was walking with Abraham. If anybody knew. In other words, it seemed like Lot should have been encouraged and should have the example of Abraham should have been so with him that he would have made the right choices too in life. And we see that Lot didn't always make the right choices. With that said, I would like to I'd like to turn to Genesis. That's about half of my thoughts. The first 20 minutes is going to be on Abraham and Lot. Then I'd like to switch gears a little bit and apply it to us today. How can we be all that we can be for Christ? How can we take the examples of Lot, and we're to learn by the examples. We're to learn by the examples of Abraham. Could somebody get me maybe two glasses of water, please? It's not that I'm going to drink two glasses of water, but I have a reason I need two glasses of water, okay? Anyhow, let's turn to Genesis 12. So we're going to start off a little bit the life of Abraham. You know, I think that's such a good example, but we also see choices Abraham made took him a certain direction, and choices Lot made took him a certain direction. And you know, sometimes as we look at the choices Lot made, we say, well, what was wrong with that choice? But you know, they took him a wrong direction. And you know, as I guess it was what's panning out in my heart, in my life, you know, each day we make lots of choices. And sometimes the choices we make look like Lot's choices. They look, well, why not make this choice? It's a good choice. No, it looks like that choice is going to be a blasting. But realizing before we make choices, we need to seek God. You know, sometimes we think we're just making a small choice. Do you know we never really make a small choice, brother? Because that small choice winds up being a big choice. Because that small choice we make in our life takes us from going this way, it takes us going this way. Just a small difference. But a small choice becomes a big choice. And each day, each one of us... Thank you, brother.
Would you like this erased too?
Yeah, please. Each day, each one of us make choices. And especially want to speak to us as fathers. Because we as fathers are more responsible at this point to teach and be a good example to our children than our children are. But before long, our children will be like I am. Your children will be a man or a woman standing behind a pulpit or teaching someone. So I'm going to, like I said, the first half of my sermon, I want to kind of focus on Abraham and Lot, and then I would like to apply it to our own lives. In Genesis 12, get where I'm going here. If I was to read all the scripture that I should read, I'd probably be here way too long. So I'm going to just kind of skip through a little bit and talk a bit. And so kind of give you the focus of my my thoughts. You know, as I was coming up here, I was thinking, you know, I met a brother on the outside and said, you know, I kind of feel like I got a butterfly in my stomach a little bit. You know, I feel just a little bit nervous, you know. I've had lots of main messages, but not here. And I just kind of feel like I'm not sure if I can do it or not. But you know, something came to my thought then. I heard a man say one time, actually a lady was telling a man, and he kind of felt the way I do. He's not sure that I can really do it. She said, if you really believe in something worthwhile, you have a passion for it. And if you really have a passion for it, then you can vigorously speak about it. But it's hard to speak something you don't have a passion about. I thought, well, I do have a passion for this, so I think the Lord's going to give me grace to share what I want to share. And Genesis 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee up out of the country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, and into the land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be blessed. Look at all these blessings that God is giving to Abraham. And you know, that's just God's heart toward his people. That's God's heart toward you, brother. Each father sitting here, that's God's heart towards you. God wants to bless you. God wants to make you a great nation. God wants to give you the kingdom. It's not just for Abraham. It's for each father that's sitting here so you can guide you, your children. He says you're going to be a father of many nations. You know, we don't know how long this earth will go on. But it's very possible, Brother Earl, that you will be a father to many nations. In other words, things multiply. And I believe these blessings are for each father sitting here. I want to bless you with that, knowing that you may be a father to many nations. And maybe you are a young man here. You'll be a father to many nations. John Kaufman, maybe you'll be a father to many nations. Just a young man, you know what I mean? So it's important that these blessings are for us. That's how God's heart is to bless his people. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Amen. Would to God that the people around us would be blessed because of us. And Earl, I want you to know that we are blessed because of you, okay? And Lawrence, we are blessed because of you. And Jason, we are blessed because of you, okay? But that each one of us would be blessed. That the others could be blessed because of us. Because of our walk with God. We do affect others. That we would bless others the way we have been blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. I want you to note and to take a note of that. And Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Now, so Abraham, can you imagine? God is telling Abraham, you know, leave your kin folks, leave your land, leave everything you have, and journey. I will be with you. You know, sometimes that's a little bit how we are. We're not sure what the end of this life holds. We don't even know what tomorrow holds. But that we trust our hand into God's and say, God, you guide me and lead me. You know, we look around, we see turmoil around. I told somebody recently, I'm so glad I'm not from this world. Because look at all the turmoil in this world. I'm so glad we are from another kingdom, so we don't have to try to figure out all this mess. Because our focus is from a kingdom that's filled with love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness and meekness. That don't sound like what things are going on around us. But in our kingdom, that's what we can experience walking with God. Amen. That each one of us would experience that to even a deeper measure, walking with God. And Lot was traveling with them. Okay, and then just chapter 13. And Abraham went up out of Egypt, and his wife and all that he had, and Lot was with him, into the south. And Abraham was very rich. He had cattle and silver and gold. And he so journeyed from the south even to Bethel unto the place where his tent had been in the beginning between Bethel and Hai. Unto the place of the altar which he made there at first. And Abram called this the name of the Lord. And Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also went with Abraham and his flocks and his herds and his tents. So we see Lot is still traveling with Abraham. And the land was not able to bear them up that they might dwell together, for their substance were very great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelled in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between thy herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we are brethren. Here we see it wasn't that they were just traveling together, but Lot was his nephew. They were the family, they were brethren. And the whole land before thee, the whole land is before thee. Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, I will go to the left. So Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plains of Jordan, that they were well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and of Gomorrah, even as the gardens of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest into Zoar. Here we see Abraham. You know, it would have seemed like Abraham could have said, you know, we are too many people. I'll go this way a lot and you go that way. But here we see that Abraham is giving his nephew, he's giving him the choice. You pick out where you want to go so there's no strife in our herdsmen, in our families. Because we're family. There shouldn't be any strife here. But Abraham would have had the right, I believe, to say, you know, I think I'll go this way. Why don't you go the other way? But instead he said to Lot, you figure out which way you want to go. You go take your wife and your family and your herds and go one way, and I'll take my wife and family and herds and go the different way, so we have plenty of pasture and waters. Then Lot chose all the plains of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from another. And Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities, in the plains, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. You know, as you know, it was, Lot says he lifted up his eyes and he looked. How does it say? He lifted up his eyes and he seen all the well-watered land. And all the green land. And he said, you know, I'll take this nice green down towards Sodom. And you know, there's nothing wrong with making good decisions. But you know, that little decision, it says he pitched his tent towards Sodom. He didn't go into Sodom. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. You know, and I was thinking about that. He pitched his tent that direction. You know, where you're going, you haven't got there yet. You haven't got where you're going yet. But you know, Lot was a righteous man. But I think, you know, before we make a move, we should really get on our knees and say, God, what direction do you want me to go? Where do you want me to travel? Where do you want me to worship? God, you guide me and direct my life. And, you know, here, I'm not saying Lot didn't pray, but it says he lifted up his eyes and, oh, that looks good. Let's go that direction. And so he lived in the cities. It says he dwelled in the cities in the plain. So Lot didn't go to Sodom. He just went on the outside of Sodom. Not too far from there. He just lived in the cities in the plain. And you know, I think, you know, how often do we what example can we take out of that? That we don't just look and make a decision. You know, as I was thinking about this, even electronics. And a lot of things we live with today, it's so easy to say, oh, look at that. That's wow. That's good. I think I'll take that. And just quickly make a decision and we do things. But we need to do is to realize every decision we make, we need to pray about it and seek God. God, where will this decision lead me? Because Lot didn't know where that decision would lead him. I really think if Lot could redo his life, he wouldn't have made those choices. Lot couldn't see where those decisions was going to take him. But just off the cuff, it looked like a good decision to him. But you know, we don't have to go far. And we get to Genesis. You know, let me see here. Don't have to go far. We get to Genesis 13:13. You know, second here. I read that there again. You know. And we just skip like two chapters further. We go to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. You know, they kind of don't really say a whole lot what happened in Lot's life right after that. He went to the plains and he lived in the plains in the city. But in Genesis 19 it says, And there came an there came two angels to Sodom at the evening, and Lot sat at the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up and went over to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face towards the ground. You know, it says that Lot was sitting at the gates. Why would Lot be sitting at the gates of Sodom? To start with, he was on the outside. Now Lot is sitting inside at the gates. When you sit at the gates, usually it's the men of the city sit at the gates watching the strangers coming in. Here come two strangers in. Lot gets up and he goes over to meet him. So what can I do for you, okay? So somehow it seems like Lot went into this wicked city and he became one of the elders. Or at least he was sitting at the city gates. You know, by small choices that took Lot to the city gates. And you know, when you're in the city gates, a lot of it happened before you get to the city gates. I mean, in other words, first you get familiar with all the city. You get familiar with those people who are important. You get familiar with all their doings. And that's what we'll see actually happen. He got familiar with it all. He got familiar with Sodom way too much. And later on, chapter 19. Okay. You know, and I know, and I was reading through, you know, you're talking about Abraham. You know, Abraham was a faithful man, a man of faith. Abraham made some mistakes, you know, right after they left. And he said, you know, tell the king you're my sister. He told the wife, Sarah, his wife, tell the king you're my sister. And so Sarah went in and God had a revelation with the king, and it was found out, and they left there. And you know what I'm saying is, I realize regardless who you are, sometimes you have a weak moment, and sometimes your faith isn't as strong as you think it is. Sometimes you fall. But you know, I think I don't want to say there's a weak link in Abraham's life, but to me it would seem like that. You know, it just seemed like lack of faith. But you know, Abraham was a man of faith. As I guess what I'm trying to say, I want to be careful. I don't hold up people to be perfect, because none of us is perfect here. But we're to take an example from those that went before us. And none of us, when we fall, we don't have to be in despair. But when Abraham had a weak moment, I believe he repented from it. He got back up, and he was a man of faith. And it's a blessing to see God calling Abraham a man of faith, in spite of times that he didn't do as well. Maybe he faltered. Or maybe his faith was a little weak. Okay, now we're looking at righteous Lot, okay? We're still talking about righteous Lot. Both of them being kin, both of them being family. Both of them traveling together. Of course, they were traveling together, then they separated, and Lot moved down close to Sodom. Okay, the angels came and tell him, you know, you need to get out of Sodom. We're going to destroy this. We're going to destroy the city. And Lot went out and spoke to his son-in-laws, which married his daughters. You see how far it went now? He was in the city, and he went out to speak to his son-in-laws, which married his daughters. First, moving down on the outside of, it didn't seem so bad, maybe, to be on the outside of Sodom. But now he's in Sodom, and his daughters married the heathens. And Lot went down and Lot went out and spake unto his son-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, get ye up out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But it seemed as one that mocked unto them, unto the son-in-laws. But when morning arose, the angels hastened to Lot. You notice how the angels did? The angels hastened to Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which is here with thee, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. The angels, they were in haste. Listen, hurry and get your two daughters. And let's get out of the city real quick. It says, why? Now listen to the next verse. And while he lingered, the men laid hold of his hands and upon the hands of his wife and upon the hands of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto them, and they said unto them and brought them out and set them without the city. It seemed like, you know, the angels had told Lot and his daughters, you know, you need to get out of the city because God's going to burn down the city. God's going to consume the city. In fact, Lot even went out to tell his son-in-laws about it. But, you know, it was just, he has so much here in Sodom already, you know, it's just hard to leave. But the angels, they were in a hurry. It says the angels hastened to Lot. But yet, it says, while he lingered, the man laid hold upon his hand. So Lot, you know, there again, his example. Lot didn't say, oh, you mean they're going to destroy the city? That's crazy. Let's get out of here quick and run out. Rather, the angels had to get a hold of Lot and almost drag him out of the city. You know, small choices became big choices in Lot's family. You know, as we look, who is responsible for Lot's family, Brother Earl? Who is responsible for Lot's family? Lot was responsible for Lot's family. Who is responsible for Lot's wife, Lawrence? Lot. Lot was. You fathers are responsible for your wives and your children and the value system you teach them, the places you take them, the way where you go to worship, where you go to play. As fathers, today is Father's Day, and I want to encourage us fathers to take our rightful place. You know, Lot was a just man. It says he was a righteous man. And Lot didn't always make the right choices. And as we'll find out, well, let's go on. Okay, first, yeah, they were lingering, and the angels get a hold of their hands, get a hold upon the hand of his wife, and upon the two daughters, and the Lord was merciful unto them, and they brought them forth and set him without the city. So he didn't just say, hey, listen, take your family and run to the mountains, but literally got a hold of them and drug them out of the city. Okay, can you imagine this? He actually says he took him outside the city. Okay, now I got you outside the city. I think the angels didn't trust him very far. He didn't just say, hurry and run and leave. But he actually drug him outside the city and said, now run for the mountains. You know, that's sometimes how our hearts get attached to things. Sometimes people, you know, this is God, the angels, dragging them away to his rescue. But wasn't God merciful, though, too? I mean, God could have said, listen, you're with the wicked, you won't get out, I'll just destroy you with him. But that, again, shows God's hand towards Lot. Lot almost didn't deserve that, you know what I mean? But God's love towards Lot, that's how we need to. God, and that's God's love toward us. Even when we're stubborn, when we're rebellious, we just don't want to go. Sometimes God gets a hold of us and says, come on, let's go, let's go. Maybe you young people, same way. Let's hear God speaking to us that we might move forward. But when we wait till God get a hold of us and literally drag us, it's not going to be good with our family. You know, and it came to pass that when they had brought them out forth abroad, that he said, escape for your lives, look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plains, escape unto the mountains, lest thou be consumed. You know, the angels gave clear directions. Escape. He didn't just say take a walk. He said escape, run, passionately. You know, that's how we need to do. When there's sin around us, we need to escape from it. We need to run passionately towards the mountains. Get away from it. Because God will destroy sin. God destroyed Sodom. Sin will be destroyed. And let's not be tangle ourselves up with sin. But he was so tangled up with sin. But yet, I mean, Lot was a righteous man. It says he vexed his righteous soul daily. and skip a number of verses, verse 26, but his wife looked back from behind and she became a pillar of salt. Here we see he lost his wife. First, they lost his daughters that were in Sodom. Now he lost his wife. Now he's fleeing to the mountains. Only two of his girls with him. And we read the rest of Genesis there. We realize things didn't turn out well with the two girls, his daughters, that got him drunk and how that went too. You can see the choices Lot made. To start with, it looked very innocent. Yeah, I think I'll go down there. The grass is green and luscious. Oh, yes, I enjoy that. You know, let's go down there and enjoy that, you know. But, you know, that's how sin is. It looks, I'm not saying going down there was sin, but that's how sin is. It looks inviting. It actually looks very harmless, very harmless. Oh, I would never do that. I'll just do this. I'll just do this. You know, but then you're next to Sodom, and finally he was in Sodom. And, you know, I believe this isn't here for an example for us to realize to not try to camp outside of Sodom. Because before long, especially us as fathers, you know, sometimes we can, us as fathers are responsible to make the right decision, to bring security to our homes. You know, Abraham, I'm not going to read all this, but Abraham made some wise decisions. You know, even though he had a son taking him up, and he was obedient unto God, even when he didn't understand. And that's what I want to encourage us. Let's seek God and hear from God. Let's walk with God in a real passionate way. Because if we don't, we'll wind up like Lot. We'll wind up like Lot. You know, it looks good, but it won't wind up good for us. Okay, I would like to change gears just a little bit now. I'd like to change gears just a little bit. And I'd like to turn to John. You know, it's so important that we as fathers, like I said, I had a passion. That we'd all be filled with the power of God. That we as fathers would have a passionate vision for faith and works. It's so important that we have a passionate vision. Because if we don't have a passionate vision, then anything that looks good, it'll look good to us. Well, that looks good. You know, the green well-watered plains for his cattle look good. You know, he didn't say, I wonder where my family, or at least it don't show us. I wonder where my family, where the best church is. Where we could fellowship with God's people. You know, that's what should draw us, the fellowship of God's people. Versus he would look for what would, you might say, where the green pastures were. Okay, in John 15, let me turn to John 15. I'll try to not make it too terrible long. Okay. Talking about fruit in our life and works in our life and how we can combine that and how we can apply that every day to our life. We should be bringing forth much fruit. Okay, I'm going to just kind of skip through this a little bit. Actually, I'm not even going to read it. In verse 2, that it may bring forth much fruit in our lives. Let me read it. I am the true vine, and my Father is my husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not forth fruit is taken away, and every branch that beareth fruit is purged, that it may bring forth more fruit. That's kind of my thought in this scripture here, that we would be bringing forth fruit in our lives. What are fruits, okay? Ye are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except ye abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the branch, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. That's my question to us. How much fruit are we bringing forth in our lives? You know, or you could say, how much works? Is it safe to say works? How much works? True faith produces works. True faith produces fruit in our lives. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And they gather, cast them into the fire and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and I will. It shall be done unto thee. Here is my Father glorified when ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And we keep going there. It's got several times talking about bearing much fruit for Christ. I like to talk, actually, I was going to turn to James first. Let me turn to James. That's okay. Had it mixed up there. In James 2. James 2:14. What doeth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? I want to talk about faith and works. It's asking a question. What doeth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not, if you don't have works, can faith save him? That's a question. Can faith save him? Okay. If a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give him not the things which is needful for the body, does it profit him? Even so, faith, if it has not works, it is dead, being alone. Faith without work, here it says, faith, if it has not works, is dead, it being alone. Faith always has works. It starts off with faith. Faith is a working power. When we have faith, then we want to serve God. We want to. Yea, if a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou do as well. The devils also believe and tremble. You know, talking about works, I was thinking about something that just about 2 weeks ago, I was witnessing to a guy at work, and we was having a lively conversation, and somebody else is listening in, and he comes up to me, a heathen, and he says, I got a question I want to ask you. Overhearing me speak, witnessing to him. He said, I believe in God. Does that mean I go to heaven? He said, but I don't want the Bible stuff. I believe in God, but I don't like the Bible stuff. But I do believe in God. He said, am I going to heaven? Is that enough? You know, that's the way a lot of the people are now. They believe in God, but they don't want the Bible stuff. No, the devils also believe and tremble. So it's so important. Just faith. He believed in God, but he didn't want the Bible stuff. He goes, why? The Bible makes application to our lives. That's why he didn't want the Bible. He just, oh, I believe in God. Now I'm ready to go. You know, no, that's not how it works. I told him, no, you need to believe the Bible. You know, it's the power of God unto salvation. You know, it's all one package. Well, I'm not ready for that, he said. I'm not ready for that. And you're right. There's a lot of people that's not ready for that. We can't force people that, but we still can speak the truth, okay? So it's so important to have faith. The faith in God is good, but works must follow. here in James. It goes on to say, but wilt thou know, O vain man, faith without works is dead. That says it pretty simple. Faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered up Isaac upon the altar? Seest thou not how works, seest not thou by faith how that wrought with his works, and by works faith was made perfect. With works faith was made perfect. Faith was made perfect. I just brought a little example. I just did this real quick. I know it's not a whole lot, but I was just thought I'd set it up here. I'm going to make it maybe a little bit of an illustration. Okay, we all can see that's like a wagon wheel, okay? Faith is like the center of us. God, faith is the center of who we are, okay? Anyhow, hang on. You know, in Matthew, it talks about Matthew 8. About the sower went forth to sow, and some brought forth some brought forth 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. The question I would like to ask us, how many fold is this seed is being sown in our lives? How much fruit is coming out of our lives? Are we being all that we can for Christ? Are we bringing forth 100-fold for Christ? You know, I think it's very important to be all that we can for Christ. If we're not being all that we, if our focus isn't being all that we can for Christ, then we're going to wind up like Lot. I need somebody to write. Linda, would you come up and help me out, please? You know, as we think, here I just had to put down the works and faith. I'm stuck in my pocket here and can't get it out. That's just a marker here, okay? And what I want to do is, faith produces works. It produces fruit. What fruit do you expect to see coming out of somebody's life? So I want to open it up a little bit. As a Christian, what kind of, we're to bring forth much fruit, 100-fold, okay? So what kind of fruit do you expect to see, what do you experience in your life, or do you expect to see in somebody's life? Yeah. So we just brought it in here. Here's like a wagon wheel. And to me, I just kind of thought of, you know, as God is the hub. God is the hub of our life. God is who we want. God, no more I but Christ. God is my hub. And then we need to have, but that itself isn't going to be enough. We need to have good works and fruit. Because we want to, in faith, reach out and help others. Of course, we know the fruits. The fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness. What are some things you would expect to see in a Christian's life? Anybody? A joyful testimony. Another thing. I got a whole list of them here, but I like to have your list, not mine. Okay. What's something else you as a Christian? What do you? What flows out of your life with Christ?
Generosity.
Compassion. These are important things that flow out of our hearts, out of our lives. You know, when we have God, faith produces, okay? What else does faith produce?
Easy to be entreated.
How about loving your enemies? Forgiveness. What are some more things? Thankfulness. You know, these are fruits and works coming out of our lives. If we don't have these fruits coming out of our lives, our walk is dead. Yes, Earl.
Respect for authority. God's authority and any authority over us.
Yeah, respect for authority. I just put down a couple of I have here. Praise and worship. Put down praise and worship. That's very, when we have God in our life, that should just be flowing out of our life. It's praise and worship. How about prayer? Prayer should be flowing out of our lives. How about walking with God? That should just be flowing out of our lives. You know, we don't talk about this one a whole lot, but maybe it's out of our... But being filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, when we're really filled with the Holy Ghost, it's no more I but Christ in every thought and action. Are we filled with the Holy Ghost? You know, these are works. You know, just faith itself can't save us. Faith produces works. Faith produces good fruit. Let's have some more. Peace. Amen. Well, our faith produces peace. Amen. Amen. You know, I think Being filled with the love of God. Seeking the kingdom of God first. Anyhow, you get the idea. You know, when our life, and I think our life is like a big wheel. You see then that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. It takes faith. Don't get me wrong. That's step number one. The thief on the cross, he had to have faith in God, okay? Faith is the most important, okay? Faith is the powerhouse to your life. Faith in God. But if you are filled with faith in God, it will produce other things. It will produce a love for your enemies. It will produce thankfulness. It will produce forgiveness. You know, and truly produce worship and praise. Thank you, brother. Thank you. You know, I think when your life is filled with these kind of things, people will observe your life and say, yes, that's Christ. I want to be more like him. Probably most of you know this story, but I'm going to tell it anyhow. I got a couple short ones I want to say, okay? It's testimonies. Let another man praise thee, not thine own mouth. You know, when you see a testimony of Christ coming out of somebody's life, people stand back and take notice. That's not normal, okay? That's not every day. But I know somebody very personally. He was preaching revival meetings. He used to be a drug addict. And he was preaching revival meetings, and his whole home was in a disaster. And his wife, ladies, listen up. His wife was a born-again believer. She came to the Lord, too. She was a drug addict, too. She came to the Lord, and with her testimony, she won her husband to the Lord. And then he was a pastor, and he was preaching revival meetings at our church. But this is what she told me. He'd be so in there with his buddies. He'd have all his buddies over. They'd be drinking. You couldn't hardly even smoking. You couldn't even hardly go into the room. It was so full of nasty stuff. And said he would come. I would sit there and I would read my Bible. This is what she said. And said, and he would come over and he would blow smoke in my face and he would laugh at her in her face and he'd dump beer on her. That's what he would do to his wife. But said, she still said, I just said she loved him and she's praying for him. And said she repeatedly, he tried to get her to flare up. But she was so filled with the spirit and power of God that regardless what she did, regardless what him and his buddies did, she'd always respond back, positive, positive, positive. And he told me, he said, because of her positive attitude, I'm like, I want whatever she has. I want whatever she has. And he said, I don't know exactly all the detail, but he got on his knees and he repented and he was a pastor now. He was preaching the word. And just again, because if a woman or a man is filled with the power of God, that's what it'll look like. That's what it'll look like. Another example was something similar. There again, you know, I'm not sure why. Sometimes I wonder, where are the men? We hear all these godly women, you know, and they have to win their husbands. Well, that's okay too. At least they win them, okay? This godly woman, she was at home waiting on her husband. She had, her husband was in the bar, he was drinking. About midnight, one guy says to the other, well, I better go home, get my chewing out from the old lady. He said, what do you mean, chewing out from the old lady? He said, I go home, my wife don't chew me out. He says, huh, you don't know my wife. My wife always chews me out when I come home at midnight and I'm drunk. And he said, well, my wife never chews me out even if I come home drunk. So he says, he said, in fact, if y'all want to, you can go come home with me and she'll even cook a meal for you. And I said, yeah, we'd like to see that. So all these drunks get together, five or six of them. They go to the lady's, to the guy's house and go on in because he's there. She's sitting there and she's like, he's like, hey, the guy's like, I brought you some company. He said, well, we're six of us. We all like to have supper. It's midnight, okay? He said, well, I didn't make enough for you. I got enough on the stove for you, but I don't have enough for your company. But he said, listen, that's fine. It should take me a few minutes and I'll have supper ready for everybody. And she jumps up and makes supper for everybody at midnight. And 15 minutes later, it's 30 minutes later, they're all there eating supper. And one guy looks at the other and says, "If I had a wife like this, I wouldn't go to the bar." The other guy said, "I wouldn't either. I'd do anything for a wife like this." They looked at the guy that was there and he said, "So why do you come to the bar if you have a wife like this?" He says, "I don't really know." And said, "You know," he started thinking about that. Why does he go to the bar? And he realized he's got a good woman there that's praying for him. Anyhow, God broke him from drinking, and he didn't go back to the bar again because he had a good woman at home. Because she was filled with the fruits of the Spirit. You know, she could have said, "I have faith," and I don't think faith alone would save her. But because of the works that flowed through her life, it saved her husband. And you know, there are many examples like that. When we're truly willing to be all that we can for Christ, God will shine through. God will shine through. Maybe you're in a situation that you feel like, you know, my husband or my friend or somebody, my son, my daughter, is just, you know, not coming through. Well, you know, I can't guarantee you anything, but I can guarantee you this, that when we're filled with the fruits of the Spirit, God will always be true. God will always be true to His Word. When we're truly filled with the Spirit of God. In closing, I'd like to go to Ephesians. Ephesians is one of my favorite verses. Hey, Mike, could you give me a glass of water? It's running out. I should have got three of them. Well, I'm still keeping it for later. I like Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Here again, we're talking about faith, that we are filled with the faith and the power of God. It is faith. Faith is the most important, but faith by itself isn't enough. You know that each one of us, when we go to work, when we get taken advantage of at the shop, that people can see Christ in us. They can see Christ flowing out of our lives. You know, it's easy to be good when everything is good. Thank you. It's easy to be good when everything is good. But when it's tough to be good, you might say, is when things are hard, when we get taken advantage of. But truly, I believe when Christ is in our life, a lot of the other things become strangely to them. It's no more about my gains and my profit. It's about, God, I want to serve you. It's about being a father with a passionate vision. You know, I think, let's say 4 or 5 of these things ain't in here. What would our life look like then? Let's say most of it's good, but we don't love our enemies. Okay? Let's take that. Salvation comes with a full package. Let's say, yeah, we don't love our enemies and we're not thankful. What kind of Christian would we then be, Lawrence? We'd be pretty weak. That's what Lot was getting. When he took part of his, only had a partial die, he became weak. What happens when we take a couple spokes out of a wheel? I've never had a buggy. And I think this buggy here has not got enough spokes. I think it's got 13. Most of them have, I think, 18 or 19 maybe. But you take some spokes out, A wheel becomes weak, yeah. And you hit a big pothole, it'll bust because you don't have, all of a sudden you take 3 or 4 spokes out, you hit a pothole, all of a sudden it'll bust when you hit a pothole. You know, when we go through life, we hit a pothole. We need to make sure that we are filled with the fruits of the Spirit. When we do hit a pothole, we'll shine even brighter. We'll shine even brighter when we do hit a pothole. So, my challenges to myself is, what's my faith look like? Do I have all these things in? And that's only a partial list. But you put the list in. Is your life glowing for Christ? Is your life truly glowing for Christ? Or do you have 3 or 4 spokes missing? Maybe you know what the spokes are that's missing. Maybe we need to ask God to put those spokes back in. Some spokes are missing in your wheel. And that keeps you from being really on fire for the Lord, to really have a passion for Christ. Maybe some of the spokes are missing. Maybe you need to ask God to put some of those spokes back in. Ephesians 3, I started that a little bit ago maybe. Ephesians 3, verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye may be rooted and grounded in love, and may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the depth and the what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ that passes all understanding, that passes all knowledge, that ye may be filled with the fullness of God. You know, as I was thinking about this, to comprehend how wide is God's love. Somebody want to offer to tell me how big is God's love? Can you measure God's love? How wide is it? How deep is it? How high is it? What's the length of it? We can't measure. The world's not big enough to measure it. Isn't that a blessing? That's how much great God's love is. Okay, after knowing that, okay, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. Are we filled with the fullness of Christ? Or do we have other things in our lives? That our life would be filled. Too many times we're not careful. We have covetousness here, or some envy here, or some unforgiveness here. What happens when we have some of those things in there? It weakens our will. That ye might be filled with the fullness of Christ. You know, that's what I wanted. I think my glass, brother, is full. But ye might be filled with the fullness of Christ. And what I was thinking, when we have a glass like this, and it's totally full, okay, I think it's about as full as you can make it without dumping it over, okay? Can you see it's coming out the top just tiny little bit? When we are filled with the fullness of Christ, there's nothing room for no more self in there. It's all Christ. You know, too many times, our cup's like this. We have Christ in us. Yeah, look at that, how much Christ we have. But see how much room there is for the rest of us? For selfishness, or pride, or for me. I want some me time. Do you hear people say that? I want some me time, me time. We need to spend more time with God. That God would fill our full cup so full, till full and overflowing. That we are filled with the fullness of Christ. That's what we need to be filled of. Then when we are filled with the fullness of Christ, our spokes will all be there, and we can praise and worship God. But when our spokes aren't always there, half of our spokes are missing, we'll wind up like Lot. We'll make foolish decisions. Lot lost his family. He lost his wife. He lost his children. It looked good. He just went to the plains that were well watered. And well, he still had his two daughters, but he still basically lost his family. Because of the decisions he made. You know, and it's to many generations that we are the fathers of, we can't possibly be the father of many generations. So it's my encouragement, maybe I can get this in here without making a mess. That we would truly be filled with the fullness of Christ. Filled with the fullness of Christ, and that our wagon wheel would be filled with the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance. No room for self. It's the fruits of the Spirit. When we put other things in, it makes our wheel become weak. And maybe there's some spokes in there that you don't have. Make sure you have all the spokes. And where there's things in there, where there's cracked wheels in there. Maybe there's a cracked wheel of unforgiveness. Maybe a cracked wheel of little anger. Those cracked wheels and those cracked spokes need to be taken out and replaced. You know, then we can truly be a vibrant for Christ. You know, as I think about the time we're living in, you see all the chaos around us. You know, it's so good. We can be so filled with the joy of God that we don't need to. Some people, you know, I've heard people say, and I've done that myself in fear. I'm scared about my children's children. How are they going to manage through all this? Listen, when we're filled with the Spirit and power of God, look no further. The power of God, God will take care of us. God will take care of us. When we don't have God, then we do need to be worried. We do need to be worried. Okay, let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, just do praise. I've been sowing some seeds, Lord. Father, just pray that you truly would have fallen in good ground, that each one of us would bring forth much fruit. Father, I'd like to see each one of us bring forth 100-fold, be all for your kingdom that we can. But if we can, Lord, at least 60 or 30. And Father, we do pray if it's those like such as me that maybe are at 30 or 60, we would be more productive for your kingdom. Help each one of us to be more productive. And Father, we wouldn't be like Lot, just looking on things that look good and make small decisions that turn out to be a chaos and disaster. But Lord, with each decision we make, we say, God, you guide me, you lead me, you teach me, you fill me with the Holy Spirit, that we can walk a life like Abraham did, be victorious in the end, that we might truly be the father of many nations, of worshiping you and serving you. And again, Father, we do pray that you might truly be an encouragement to us as fathers, that we can be all that you want us to be. And Lord, again, we just do pray you would forgive us where we haven't, and help us to truly have a vision like Abraham did. Yes, Lord, your word would be precious to us. We'd hide it in our hearts and we'd live it daily. And yes, Lord, that we would be like that wheel that's full of those words. Our faith would just be pouring out our fruits and the fruits and works would just be pouring out of our lives, serving and worshiping you. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for each one of the fathers. We do pray a special blessing on each one of the fathers. As we go from here, Lord, we just do pray that you would go with us and help us to be all that we can for our children. We would truly make them positive decisions that lead them to eternal life. In Jesus' name.